Chapter 54. Arion sat alone in the dark. The park bench was cold and stiff, much like his present mood. All during his meal with Amaricia, he had debated whether or not to mention his upcoming meeting with Kira. Her perception had been especially well-honed this evening. She asked him twice if there was something wrong before their food was even ordered. He assured her there wasn't, but he could tell she didn't believe him. To her credit, she didn't revisit the topic. At one point, before they had kissed goodnight, he almost broke down and admitted to the meeting, but by that point it would have made him look even guiltier for not having mentioned it earlier. He hated giving harbor to such confused feelings. He was a man who enjoyed order, routine, discipline. His life was simple and structured, and he wanted to keep it that way. If this was what it was like to be in a relationship, he wondered if maybe he had acted too hastily. All these feelings were clouding his judgment, and he knew a foggy mind in his line of work could get him killed, or worse, those under his protection. "Why does it have to be so complicated?" he asked the star-filled sky above, watching his breath mist in front of his face as he wiggled around to find a more comfortable position on the bench's wooden planks. "Because life is complicated." Arion twisted in his seat. He recognized Kira's dark, throaty voice. Across the street, a shape detached itself from the corner building and started in his direction. He hated her ability to keep him feeling on edge. He watched her red leather coat glisten in the light of the street lamps as she made her way across the lane and into the park. He couldn't help but notice the extra bit of undulation coming from her hips as she sashayed up to his bench and took a seat. "Talk to yourself much?" she asked with a humorous grin. "After having been kidnapped and dragged underground, I find myself doing a number of strange things of late."
"Oh?"
she asked, batting her long eyelashes. "Like checking every alleyway and side street for ruffians before crossing." He smirked. "Like double-checking the latch on my chamber windows at night, in case I found some overly presumptuous woman scaling the palace walls, trying to break in. Like making sure to carry a few extra weapons on my person when I go into town to dine."
"Well, I'm glad to see I'm having an effect."
"Like a bad rash," he mumbled. Her eyes narrowed as she studied him. "Here." She handed him back the clan ring he had sent to her as an invitation for their meeting. "As much as I enjoy sitting here admiring your beautiful face, Airy, it's getting chilly." She ran her hands provocatively down the front of her breeches. "Cold weather and leather don't mix well, you know." She looked at his black leather coat and smiled.
"So, what do you want?"
Blunt and to the point. "Same old Kira. I spoke with the king." He watched as her expression changed.
"I'll be honest," she said. "I'm surprised. I didn't actually think I'd hear from you again after what happened last time, let alone that you'd actually meet with the king on our behalf."
"I told you I would. I keep my promises." She continued staring, her brown eyes boring a hole straight through his face. The silence was getting awkward. "Why would you think otherwise?" She glanced down at the small pearl-handled dagger she had been spinning between her fingers.
"I guess I'm not used to it. Honesty, that is. Not exactly in great supply in the Warrens, unless, of course, you've promised to do somebody harm. Then you better act on it, or you look weak."
She rolled her shoulders.
and that can lead to all kinds of trouble.
Arian felt sorry for her and Poe. He was glad Reavy had managed not to get sucked into their world.
He wished there was some way to help them get out of the clans and into an honest profession. He could probably find work at the palace for them. But he had serious reservations as to whether any of them would accept.
The thought of Kira waiting tables and turning down bedsheets was more than a little humorous.
What are you smiling at? You think what I said was funny?
No, I was just thinking.
Well, quit it.
Last time you went to thinking, I ended up bound by my own shackles in front of my men, and Poe ended up naked in my bed. She scrunched her nose.
Not exactly the outcome I'd envisioned.
Even if you did manage to put a stop to that traitorous son of a fairy, Kersan, it still doesn't negate the fact that you and thinking just don't belong in the same room together.
He smiled.
She hadn't changed a bit, still clinging to that fiery temper and loose tongue.
There you go again with your smiling. Every time you do it, it makes me want to either slap or kiss you.
Sorry. He wiped it from his face as best he could, and steered the subject back to its proper course. The last thing he needed right now was to be sidetracked by the thought of her kissing him. The king agreed to help. He's willing to send in a company of lancers, along with a contingent of the city patrol, to work with the clans in flushing out whoever or whatever is behind this. From what he told me, the disappearances have spread outside the Warrens and into the main city.
Kira hesitated. That's news to me.
So, if you can get the clan heads to agree to work with us, we might be able to make something happen. At the very least, the extra armsmen on patrol should give these malefactors cause to slow their actions for the time being. Kira stared at her little belt dagger as she continued to spin it around her knuckles.
I think I can do that. I'll hold a meeting of the heads to discuss the possibility.
She cast a sideways glance.
How will I be able to get back in touch with you?
He thought about it for a moment, then pulled his high guard ring from his finger, the one given to him on his induction into the king's service. The silver ring had a smooth black stone bearing the high guard symbol of the White Falcon. Here, use this. After you meet with the clans, get this ring to Lauren. He's one of the royal hostlers and a friend. He'll be able to get it to me.
She took the ring and turned it over with her fingers, and then glanced at his other hand and smiled.
Not that ring. Arian lifted his right hand and stared at the plain black onyx ring. It had tribal markings from his former Upakan family etched in white around the center of the band. His father had given it to him on the day Arian had been banished from his home. He told him it would always be there to remind him of who he was. He grunted at her.
So touchy. You act as though you're afraid I might steal it or something.
She twirled her fingers through her black hair and batted her lashes. Imagine that, since it was you who stole it from me the first day I stepped foot in Eremor. If memory serves me, you left me lying in a puddle of rainwater, half naked and waiting to die.
Oh, don't be such a sour puss. At least we left you with your small clothes, she said with a wink, which is more than what you left me, if I remember correctly.
Arian half choked. Yes. Well, water under the bridge. Kira unbuttoned the top of her leather jacket and tucked his high guard ring into her brassiere with a shameless smirk. After twitching back and forth to make sure it wasn't going to fall back out, she scooted across the seat and leaned in his direction.
Blazes! I knew this was coming.
Without thinking, Arian reached out and grabbed her shoulders. They were strong, much stronger than he would have imagined, They were certainly not the shoulders of a genteel woman, but of a woman who had struggled and fought every day of her life for the chance to continue living. Instead of pulling her to him, though, he pushed her away. The shock on her face mirrored his own as he cleared his throat. "I'm with someone, Kira." She grinned. "Not right now, you're not." He rolled his eyes and sighed. "Be that as it may, and as much as I might like to, it's wrong. I care about Amaricia too much to hurt her like that."
"She wouldn't have to know."
"I would know." He stood from his seat and took a step back, trying to prove he had the fortitude not to give in to temptation. She remained where she was. "Maybe if circumstances had been different..." He didn't finish the sentence. He knew she understood. "I'll be waiting for that ring." When she didn't respond, he turned and started to walk away.
"She's a lucky woman."
Arian stopped and looked back over his shoulder. Kira was now standing beside the bench.
"Faithfulness is a rare virtue these days."
She turned and started back toward the open street, but stopped when she heard Arian call after her.
"If you want our help, be sure to meet with the clan soon. The king is preparing a declaration of war against Sealmar. We'll be heading to the border as early as the end of next week. Arrangements are already underway."
"War?"
She looks tense.
"I take it you'll be going?"
"Of course. Where the king goes, I go."
"You better bring yourself back."
"Why, Kira." Arian looked aghast. "That almost sounded like you care."
"I don't," she said with a smirk. "But I just gave you my best ring."
Arian shook his head as he watched her disappear back into the night.